Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Meal Deals podcast. And I'm Eric Wang, and I am here with
Rafael Perez
and Victoria Pham.
Welcome back. And this, I believe, is our fifth episode.
Don't take my word for it.
Sixth episode, fifth or sixth, somewhere around that area. But today's episode topic is how to de-stress, because all of us are stressed. So does anyone have any experiences they can recall being stressed really hard? I guess the best experience I can recall is like stress for tests, stress for school, stress about finances. That's the best things I can think of when I think of stress in general.
Well, I think it's a great time to talk about stress right now because me and Victoria just started college.
So, well, yeah, Eric, too.
Oh, now I just started college, which is great.
Well, then now for next week, though.
Yeah, next week. Next Monday, I'll be starting college officially.
Right.
But this week, I've actually moved in, and actually we're recording this podcast episode in Drexel right now, which I go to, and Rafael, Victoria, and I are in the study room in the Drexel campus recording this podcast episode. So, yeah, I am really excited about Drexel, but like everyone are, I think we're all Drexel students are a little stressed for incoming freshmen about like the workload we're going to take, especially transitioning from high school to college.
Yeah.
And especially for you guys, because you guys are college freshmen as well.
Yeah.
I think that I really underestimated how stressful college was going to be, because I don't know if I talked about this before on this podcast, but I started college a little bit early. I did a summer program, so I was really just like testing the waters by going to these classes. There were only two, but I think that I underestimated how much freedom you really get, because you go in there, it's only 10 hours a week that you're going into class, and most of it is just, it's really on you. And if you really don't care about class, if you don't care about studying, then you're most likely not going to succeed.
Exactly.
Yeah, because no one's going to hound you on doing your best, and no one's going to tell you what to do.
Mm-hmm.
You just kind of have to figure out your own rhythm. And I think that's what's so interesting about being college freshmen, is that we're still in this, and recording this podcast at the same time. It's like we're all figuring out our rhythm right now, but we're also giving advice, which is so funny.
Yeah. We don't have the perfect advice, but I do think this is the advice that we can give, that give people in the right direction.
Yeah.
And I can say that our advice will evolve as we continue throughout college.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that for right now, I guess you can say, is we just going to talk about our college experience and how, I mean, how stressful it is for one of us, and how, you know, what we thought college is going to be versus how college is actually is, like, you know, make a comparison between what you thought college was going to be before school started.
Well, I think that it could also be perfect advice for any high school student, because, you know, we're not trying to say that high school isn't stressful. All of it is stressful.
Yeah.
Academics is, if you really take it into account and you really care about it, all of it is going to be stressful no matter
mm-hmm.
what.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're the hardest worker in the class. And I mean, the comparison between college and high school obviously is very different. But the main topic of this video, or not video, this podcast, is how to de-stress. And I think that we can talk more for a high school experience coming into college.
Mm.
So what do you guys think?
I say the biggest things I think about how to de-stress for college coming from a high school background is to understand some of the methods that you can prevent most of that stress. So I do think time management is a big key. Every time you hear about college, students are saying, manage your time, make a Google Calendar, make a schedule. No one's going to babysit you. No one's going to tell you, like Victoria said, what to do, which is very stressful and very liberated, that you can have the autonomy to do what you want to do without anyone telling you not to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But like I previously said a few seconds ago, is that managing your time is very important, because if you don't manage your time, you're creating more unwarranted stress on yourself upon that stress you are gonna have from college itself.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you are gonna have exams and homework assignments and quizzes that are gonna stress you. But you can mitigate that stress a lot less by planning a time of in your schedule and say, I'm going to study for this, I'm going to do the homework assignments at this amount of time, and I'm going to prepare for the exams at this amount of time, and know ahead of time when the exam's going to happen. Yeah. Rather than not knowing when and thinking about, okay, maybe I'll feel like studying for psychology, or maybe I'll feel like studying for math. Instead, have a calendar is like, okay, on Wednesday, around noon, I'll study math for an hour, work on that homework assignment, and then maybe tonight I'll tackle it again for another hour. That's a more effective method than just going with the flow,
yeah. I would say. I feel like people think that that's so... For a long time, I thought that it was like micromanaging myself, but no, it's the complete opposite. It's making sure that you have something to follow so you're not constantly bouncing off the walls and you don't know what you're doing.
Exactly. Yeah.
And people, I don't know why, and I guess this is going to sound very, for lack of a better term, like very anal and like strict of me, but people who don't have a schedule, who don't follow any certain kind of routine, I often see them just like kind of fall off the rails and mm-hmm. like kind of not know what they're doing. And I mean, hats off to those, to the people that can handle that. But I certainly feel as if whenever I'm not in kind of a structured state, I'm always just distracted all the time.
Right.
And it turns out really bad for me.
I totally relate. Like now, which I'm really grateful for, since the week that I moved in, I'm really setting up the systems of the Google Calendar and the to-do list and making sure I have these good positive habits that really help propel me into the right direction for college success. Because in the beginning of college, or just like beginning of every school year, even back in as far as I can remember, third grade, I would think like every school year is like a new year, new me. Just like New Year's resolutions, like we talk about, we think that we are going to be perfect and we're going to straight like be successful throughout the whole year, have all these successes. But 100% of the time, we are going to face these obstacles and failures that are going to stress us. And like you mentioned, it is hard to not have a successful day without some sort of guideline, without some sort of guideline, like a Google Calendar or like a to-do list or some sort of mind where you have to complete this task. Like, mm-hmm. I feel the same way. I bounce off the walls and just like not knowing what to do because I don't really have my thoughts on paper. It seems really simple to say, but it's hard when we think these tasks in our head, but we use the energy to remember those tasks. But it's better to like put the tasks that we want to do on paper. So if we were to forget, oh, what am I supposed to do this today? I only remember two or three things. Oh, wait, I wrote a list of things that I need to do.
Yeah.
And that's how you get through the day. I think a guideline really helps you become less stressed and not make an excuse when you say that you're bored or you have mm-hmm. nothing to do. Because honestly, you always have something to do. It's just up to you if you want to do it. And it's good if you want to write that prior to that day mm-hmm. so you know what to do when you wake up.
Yeah, because your mind can... You're right. Your mind can make up any excuse not to do it, or mm-hmm. your mind will purposely forget because you just don't care about it.
Exactly. Right. Your mind can be definitely really contradicted, and like you said, once you write it on paper or put it on your, I guess you could say your iPhone notes or whatever, something that you can create of something or someone to account you for. You know, mm-hmm. it's just like, because the thing is that. Once, I guess you can say, when you just set it yourself, you know, when you just say to yourself, you know, oh, I'm going to do this or do that, you know, it's really hard to have power over yourself when it comes to that.
Right.
Because once you have power over yourself, you're giving yourself permission to do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. You have to give something or someone to, mm-hmm. or you have to give permission to something or someone exactly. to do this certain things. Because and that's way more limited than yourself. Because once you do it yourself, you know, you just, you know, like you guys said, you know, you can make any excuses and whatever reason that caused you not to do these type of studies or yeah, just study in general or do homework or whatever, just in anything general or any task in general that you wanted to do or anything or any task that is productive. Like, you know what I mean?
You need structure. Like, you can't just leave it to yourself that, like, okay, yeah, I'll do this and do that for tomorrow.
Especially when you haven't been a disciplined person at all. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I know that the first step is usually really hard, setting up a to-do list, setting up a schedule. It seems so tedious, right? And seems really tedious. But once you start, just start making the list. Mm-hmm. And then you think, huh, if I were to, like Jordan Peterson said, you know, if you were to schedule the perfect day in your head, that's the best way to plan out the rest of your week. Instead of doing, putting things down that you really don't have any care for. Mm-hmm. I mean, what's the point of having that part of your day when you just don't care about it? And then, and in that way, you make yourself more accountable. And it's even better when you have other people around you to make your, to make you accountable.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that's definitely one way to prevent stress. But I also think that we need to talk about
how to manage,
and also, like, after the stress has been dealt with,
yeah,
where do you go from there?
That's important.
Yeah,
that's
good. Because after stress, it can lead to so many different roads.
That's true. Yeah, depending on what mindset you have before, it can also affect after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And which I recommend that, I guess you can say, you can practice it in junior or senior year, especially senior year in high school. Yeah, practice that. And once you, at least you get, I guess you can say, get the hang of it.
Get the hang of what?
Like, you know, making a to-do list or something simple like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Make a calendar, make a schedule, simple schedule. Doesn't really have to do homework. You know, make something, just organize yourself and make someone else or something accountable for what you want to do. So once you get into college, you already got used to that. And I think you'll be fine by that.
I want to say this before we get into the multiple stages of stress, because that's a really important thing you mentioned, is that it's not just, okay, you can only prevent stress by doing this. Oh, there are also things you have to do there are methods you can do to manage the stress, and there are methods that you can do to recover from the stress. Mm-hmm. So one, I would say, when you mentioned Jordan Peterson, another thing that reminded me is your environment. Your environment can definitely cause you stress, believe it or not. And I think one of the biggest things that Jordan Peterson wanted to assert is that if the environment around you is organized, you have more of a clear, your mind is more clear, that you have more clarity in your critical thinking. So take, for example, if your bed is, like, really messy, it's good to, like, clean it up, because for one, if you want to put that on your to-do list, is that you clean your room. Yeah. That's the first task you ever done and for the whole day. So you already made one accomplishment. So that could really give you that positive momentum to really do well for the day. And that can, like, snowball into, like, a lot of successes and prevent a lot of that stress. Mm-hmm. And cleaning your room, it really helps you, because if you're, like I mentioned, if your environment is organized, then you have a more clear thinking, more clear mindset, and helps you have the better ability to handle stress when you approach it, when it arises. But I just want to mention that really quickly. It sounds really simple, like clean your room, but it definitely helps a lot. I think we could go into a whole podcast episode about some of Jordan Peterson's methods on how to really improve yourself.
Most definitely.
But
yeah,
we can move on to, like, some of our experiences with, like, some stages of stress that we had. Mm-hmm. But managing stress, I do think that exercise and health can be a really big way to manage your stress. For me, I don't feel well. I feel really jittery if I don't work out at least twice a week, because if I don't move out of my seat, because now we kind of live in a sedentary lifestyle where we kind of sit down for 12 hours a day at least, and then we stand up, and then we drive to home, and then we sleep, and then the process rinses and repeats. I think it's good to get out of your seat and, like, move your body, because it just scientifically it lessens the stress.
Yeah, I mean, also I think that increasing your blood flow to your brain, and just like realizing, or making your brain realize that your body is actually alive, you know, and you're not just made to sit in one place all the time.
That's very specific, but yeah, I agree.
I mean, it's true. You have to sometimes wake up your brain mentally and psychologically to realize that you're still there and you're still alive. Like, you can move and do things.
Exactly.
And not doing that for a long time, it just makes your brain and your body so numb to whatever you're doing. Mm-hmm. So when you're stressed out, but you're still sitting in the same seat, engaging in the same things, obviously you're just going to enhance that stress. Right. You're not going to decrease it. So, I mean, another person that I love watching is Thomas Frank, and he always... not always, but in one video he talked about just going out for a 15-minute walk, and I think that people really underestimate how amazing it feels after you just, like, not even putting on headphones, you can just walk around. But if you like music, you know, put your headphones in and then you walk around the block. Mm-hmm. Or at my campus, it's really amazing outside, so I just love to walk around, look at the trees, look at nature, and like, I mean, I sound like an old woman.
No, but that's perfectly appropriate.
Yeah, really just tuning into observation rather than focusing on that one really stressful task that you had.
There's this de-stress method called Forest Bathing. So if you do have access to nature outside that you could take a walk to, there's studies do show that your stress level do decrease by a significant amount if you do take your time to walk in nature, walk in a park, walk through a forest. So if you ever do have a location or nature around you, I definitely do recommend that you should go and try that method where you just mm-hmm. walk through a forest, walk through a park, and just take a stroll around. Like mm-hmm. like Victoria mentioned, listen to music. It definitely will help you decrease that stress.
Which is definitely, it's such a really good method, because the thing is that this guy, I'm pretty sure I mentioned last time, or I mentioned about Tech Lead, right? Mm-hmm. During the podcast, this guy named Tech Lead, he mentioned one time of this video of how to be productive, and one of which is like, do something that you just want to do. You know, it doesn't have to be anything work related, you know, so the video games and stuff like that. Because once you do something that you want to do, and then you get tired of it, the only thing you want to do is work, you know? Mm-hmm. And once you, it just, as you're doing, like, you know, walking around, or putting headphones on, listening to music, when you come back to it, you know, you feel like you want to do something more, you know, you want to do something, you know, yeah. after walking around.
Well, I think that it takes a lot of awareness to really, because a lot of people can indulge in that want or desire to do anything else other than work. Mm-hmm. There are a lot more people hate work than they like work.
Oh yeah, of course.
I mean, it's really a new era that people are really into productivity. Mm-hmm. You know, before it was the cool thing to not really care about exercising, first of all. Second, not really caring about school or work. Mm-hmm. That was the cool thing to do. And now we're on this new productivity kick where everyone wants to really hone in on their jobs and like how to make the best of themselves. And that wasn't something that was happening before. So I think that with people that are constantly indulging in what they want to do all the time, it's easy for them to slip into like, well, if I can do whatever I want to do, then I'm not going to do anything that I have to do.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I understand your point, but I think that it definitely works for people that are more disciplined.
Mm,
yeah. It works for more people that, like we said earlier, have a little bit of structure.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
I haven't thought of that.
Yeah.
I want to bounce off two of your conversations here. For one, that's an interesting way to put it. Like, we're kind of like moving from this era of prioritizing unhealthy or like bad habits or a negative mindset to more of a positive mindset.
Yeah.
Or maybe we're just seeing it, or all three of us are seeing it in that life. I feel like maybe it's just the people that we surround ourselves with that we feel like we're going towards a more positive direction than a negative direction.
Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the aspects, but the second thing is, before, no one thought that unhealthy thing was unhealthy, you know.
I feel like it makes sense. Like, no one was aware that that thing was like that was affecting them.
Yeah, until exactly.
Something that it is that requires requires productivity. That's when it started to affect them.
Yeah, because not caring about school and not caring about work, like I said, it was just a cool thing. And I think that people got
sick of it.
Went along well in life without needing to care about it. But then recently it was like,
I feel like it's just like the amount of information that's like out there makes us realize like there's more potential we could do.
Yeah.
Than just sticking to, I guess, the norm.
Just observe how YouTube is just basically producing all of these productivity channels now, right? And all about entrepreneurship and all about making your own business, working for yourself.
Right.
Right? Yeah. And that was never the thing. It was always work for a company.
Was it never a thing? Because the thing is,
it was a thing.
All right, it was not
most people chased after.
Yeah.
A lot of people are chasing after it now because you can make anything. You can make any product and sell it online.
Right.
But I think that we're jumping into a weird rabbit hole here.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I do agree, you guys. We could talk about this in another podcast episode. I think this would be a very interesting discussion.
Yeah.
But I remember my second point I want to get to is that video games can be a method that you could use to de-stress. Just in general, I do agree. If you try to do something that's not related to work that helps you turn the switch off, or video games can help you, I guess, turn your crank on to start being productive. But I would say that it depends on, I would say, the level of stimuli your brain is like really focused on.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, like the power of the internet, of like how much information we have and the information that we know, how to be productive and the methods that we can learn to de-stress. It's very good, but I think it's a double-edged sword where there's social media and there's like things that are online that can catch our attention, and it makes our brain really stimulated. So that, I think it really depends on like when you want to manage your stress. It also depends on how much energy you have for the day. Because if you are on social media for most of the day, really focused on just looking at the app and continuously looking for the app, believe it or not, you are using a lot of your brain energy to continuously look for something.
Yeah.
So if you were to look towards a homework assignment, it's a slower pace of information searching. Because for apps like Instagram, it's instant. Mm-hmm. Where for homework assignments and for reading books, it's more slow. It's even though information is there, we're just not used to the pace of stimuli. So,
yeah.
Because, so take for example, if I work on a homework assignment, but I get distracted a lot from the social media, that really creates my studying method less effective. So I just want to say that's a thing you have to watch out when you want to mitigate that stress.
I guess it's more like what's affecting your study method, you know?
Yeah.
Like you're just saying, like, it's just one of those things that just weakens your study skills. So if you're aware of that, you might probably want to say like, okay, I am aware that social media is affecting my study method, therefore I should get rid of it, you know. Take a break. Or if you're really, you know, I guess you can say powerful, you know,
very disciplined,
then just get rid of social media, you know. Mm-hmm. Get rid of it, and then that's when your study method will become more effective, because, you know, the things that is affecting your study method is gone.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to point that out, because I think video games is a very mechanism to battle like stress. Because for one, I think it could really lead to a rabbit hole from my experience, because video games are so stimulating to me. I can like continuously want to play that game for as long as I can.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, I have less time. And because I have less time, I have less time to study. And because I have less time to study, I won't be good for these exams, which creates more of that stress. It makes me want to cram that stress more.
I don't think people realize how much social media and video games, you're right, it is a lot of stimuli. You're just looking down Instagram and the interface. Think about all the things that you can interact with, you know, and you're taking in all that information. And I mean, this is looking at it from a very micro perspective, but your brain is processing all of that shit all at once.
I would put social media and video games in two separate sections, because the thing is that for video games, that's when you take a lot of time that you're supposed to be doing. While social media, that's when you're taking a lot of information. Because the thing is, for video games, I think, you know, it's just, once you play video games, it's something that you already know, you know? Something that you already know how to play. You already know, you know, what you're just doing.
It depends
just
on
like,
the game.
Also, you can say that for both things.
Yeah, you can say that for Instagram.
I think that what I'm trying to say is that video games, it's, you're also just processing a lot all at once. It takes a lot of mental energy to focus on social media and video games.
I think it's just easier, because like, it's easier to get information from Instagram and video games than if you were to get information from a book or a homework assignment, because you have to work harder. Because like, I think of it like, the best comparison I could think of is like a role-playing game, like an RPG video game. It's more straightforward and more clear for you to know how to level up, how to get the things, the tasks and the quests you need to do to make your character stronger, because that's your character. Mm-hmm. Whereas in real life, it's more difficult to put in that effort, because it's not straightforward.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's like, even though Instagram has like less information than like you could say from video games, because video games could like, you already know what you want to do. Okay, you want to fight this, you want to get this, just take that for example. But for Instagram, although it could be like an instant information, because it's instant, you continuously want to keep looking for it. You want to keep looking for more and more instant information. Whereas in books, you really have to put in that effort and that flow of like digging through that information. It's harder. I think it's just a pace of stimuli.
Well, I think that in terms of stress, it's when you look to social media or you look to video games for an escape. First of all, I really don't believe in the idea of anything being an escape. That's, I'm gonna get into a whole different situation where, you know, if you think about things as an escape mechanism, that can lead to like drugs, it can lead to like other things. And I mean, I'm not gonna be a preacher, but whatever. I think that viewing those things as a, I mean, I know that you can take a break from your studies, and that's a way to manage your stress. But when you look at it as an escape, you're just like constantly craving it. You're wiring your brain to be like, okay, if I just skim through this, I can get to play video games. I can go on my phone. And it's like, you shouldn't be doing that, because then your attention is nowhere on the task. It's on your phone. It's on the TV. So, and it makes you more stressed, because the more and more you crave that thing, the less you're focused on what you actually need to do. So, I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory from there.
That makes a lot of sense.
That's the thing. It's like, once you focus on that, then of course your studying will be as effective as it's supposed to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As ineffective, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, we keep going back and forth with these ideas, but I just want to point this out because it reminded me of another thing. It's like I mentioned, environment is definitely a big thing. It reminded me of like just natural stress. If you put like humans in the top of a mountain, it's like very cold, and it's like humans, they could survive, but if you put those humans in general a long significant amount of time, that puts the body in a lot of stress. So you have to fluctuate the stress levels in your life, because if you're continuously at this high stress level, you're going to self-destruct.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's important to have methods to manage that stress. And I like your idea of like your negative connotation of escape, when people think they want to race through all of these tasks just to go through that that outlet they think that's going to fix everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely do agree with you with that.
Which actually kind of happens in school too. Mm-hmm. Once you think about it, you know, in the morning of school, he's like, oh, I just don't want to be here. I just can't wait to get out of school.
Yeah.
So once you go, like, you know, you're not going to pay attention in class. You're not going to, well, it depends.
You're not going to interact with the information as well as you could.
Exactly.
You're going to be there anyway.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You're going to be there anyway. So like, what's the point of like, just, you know, it's just like, what the hell are you going to do?
Making it,
you know,
more awful for yourself.
Exactly.
Rather than, you know, instead of just looking at it in a way that's telling yourself and your brain, just focus on it right now. You're going to be thankful that you focused on it right now.
Right.
And then later on, when you get to escape it, or quote unquote escape it, you can actually enjoy it. Because then you know that you handled that information in school or in class, and you can come home and you can actually relax without, because there are a lot of people that are on social media and video games or just doing anything that de-stresses themselves, and they're actually thinking in the back of their mind, I shouldn't be doing this. There's a part of your brain that's telling you you shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah.
But you're doing it anyway.
It's facts. Just like, yeah. just
that's
facts.
Big facts. Big facts.
But I feel like we just went on a tangent of just like environmental factors and ways to prevent the stress, techniques before the stress. Mm. But I do want to get into the conversation. What can we do? It was inevitable. We go through the stress and mm-hmm. our body's just like, I don't know, like beat up from the stress. So how do we recover from it? What are some ways we can bounce back?
Mm-hmm. Which actually kind of like what you just said, is that the before stress can also can affect the after the stress or aftermath.
Yeah, all of it is connected with each other.
Yeah. Right. So like kind of connection with what you just said is just like, depending on how you treat the stress, you know, it also going to affect the after effect, which is like, you don't want to do this, you don't want to do that. You're just focusing on the outcome of what's going to happen. So after mm-hmm. the stress, you're probably going to be like, oh, I don't want to do this again and whatever and stuff like that. And then it keeps getting progressively worse.
So I think that in that situation, I mean, the stress, sometimes it's inevitable. And obviously what we're trying to say is you want to be proactive instead of reactive. Yes. You don't want to go after the stress. You don't want to recover from it. You want to not have it at all in the first place. But I think the best thing is to make sure that your mindset isn't in a place where you feel like you're going to fail everything.
Yeah. The first thing is to change that mindset.
Yes. Yeah. The mindset is definitely a big thing. You don't want to, I would say, like, not do good as on a quiz or a homework assignment that you thought you would do good. And then have that fixed mindset where like, okay, well, I can't do good on this assignment, so I can't do good on a final exam. If I can't finish this math problem, then how am I going to finish the math problems on a mm-hmm. on a final exam? That's the worst mindset you can have, and that will amplify the stress. That will, like we said, create more unwarranted stress than we would need.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a big thing, is mindset. We keep talking about before the stress, because we as like just people in general, we want to prepare as much as possible to avoid the worst, mm-hmm. the worst case scenario. But I do want to go into the idea of like, what if we tried all these methods and we still experienced the worst case scenario? I think for one, maybe it's also part of mindset. Accept that you failed, or accept learn from your failures.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I think learn from the stress. What made you so stressed? What are some other methods that you could learn to decrease that stress even more, or prevent that unwarranted stress. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What you don't want to do is to practice feeling nothing about it.
Right.
No. Yeah.
If you failed, you have to understand that you can get back up. Don't just stay in the same spot. Don't
victimize yourself. Yeah. I was gonna say, yeah.
I mean, also just don't give yourself up to the universe. Like, you need to take more control of yourself. Yeah. You need to know that, okay, you did something wrong. How do you prevent that from happening again? Rather than saying, well, the universe can just have its way with me. Because that's just a very defeatist attitude. And it's really sad.
And it sounds more lazy, too.
Yeah.
They just basically, like, you know, you're just here. You're just standing. Yeah. Or sitting. You're just like, oh, well, this happened to me. All right, mm-hmm. if it happens to you, what can you do about it? Do exactly. something about mm-hmm. it, you know?
I feel like we're all getting really fired up.
Yeah, because the thing is that that type of mindset, it also correlates with laziness. And you know, Eric does not like laziness at all.
I do not condone it at
all. Especially procrastination, and also especially when you're doing what you're not supposed to be doing.
It's definitely true. I mean, we're all not perfect. We all do procrastinate, but it's the mindset that sets us different from the people with the fixed mindset. It's the mindset that we are aware of it, but not only that we're aware of it, we're willing to take actions to improve that mindset. Mm-hmm. I think that's what sets people apart about how to manage or just manage anything in general. Mm-hmm. Manage stress, manage goals, just manage
Just be organized.
Just be, yeah, like, be
organized. Be organized for yourself.
Yeah.
I think it's so much, you have so much more clarity when you have structure. I know it's really redundant when we talked about this in the beginning of the podcast, but regardless of what you do in your life, it's good to have a certain timeline or an expectation of what you want to do in your life.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what's important, because what's scary is you waking up every day and not knowing what you want to do and just going with the flow, because that you yourself is just wasting time where you should be doing the things that you want to do. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm going back in a full circle.
Yeah. Here. Well, when people are constantly failing all the time, it's like they don't have any other higher expectation. When you pass or you succeed in something and then you fail again, that's when people are they understand that difference. Difference in feeling. Mm-hmm. But people who constantly don't care, people who are lazy, I don't want to paint lazy people in that picture.
Yeah.
In that light. Because they just haven't figured it out yet. So yeah, I'm not going to say lazy people, but I'm saying people who actively just don't care.
Mm-hmm.
They're setting themselves up that way because they'd rather constantly flatline than achieve something and then possibly lose it.
Sometimes flatline, but also sometimes they kind of question a lot. And by that, I mean like, oh, why do we have to do this? You know? And then once we explain it to them, then why do we have to do that? And why do we have to do that? Once, like,
they're looking for an escape from it.
Exactly. So once they keep questioning, you know, I don't know what you guys think, but it's just like, what else can we tell you except, like, you know, this is what you're going to have to do.
Well, yeah, and in that situation, it's not up to external forces. It's all in their head.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll keep making up excuses. You know, what can we do to help you if you can't help yourself? I know that that's a quote that everyone says, but it's true. People really underestimate how important your mindset is. And I think that you can achieve the best mindset possible by the media that you watch, by the people that you're surrounding yourself and the things that you listen to. It all affects you. And I mean, now I think that we can talk about how to manage the stress. We went in such a weird way. We went before and after the stress, and now we're going in the middle. So managing stress when you're in the cusp of it, you're going through it, studying for a test or preparing for something that you aren't exactly prepared for. I think that, I mean, more the things that you can do, everyone talks about meditation. I can't do meditation. I don't know if it's worked for Eric and Raphael.
I never meditated.
I
should try that.
I meditate. It definitely helps a lot. But we could talk about that, and if we have time for this podcast episode, a little bit about my experience and like how it helped me. But continue with your...
I think that managing stress is... There are a lot of things that you can do if you're actively seeking for it. So, for example, meditation and also the walking and the exercise. Fitness is so under... Not underrated.
It's under... I think...
Exercises...
I think exercise is, like, misinterpreted.
Yeah.
You know, people think, like, oh, exercise is just only to look good. And, like, I think it's just only to look good. Like, that's what people think of, look at before they think of exercise.
Yeah, it's just, they're definitely right on that. And I think it's also on, like, it's just not looked on, you know? You know what I'm saying? Just, like, something that, like, it just... So for some, before you even look into exercises, it's just like, would you sometimes think of stereotypical of what people that exercises do?
Yeah.
You know? It's just that, oh, they probably just do this for that or do this for that, you know? But once you get into exercises, you'll understand. You probably would, like, you know, I guess you can say research is more like why you need to exercise, but research is more why you need, you know, to do a diet. I think I'm getting out of topic here. But what I'm saying is, like, it's just, I guess, it's just not looked on.
I mean, I don't think that you're getting off topic at all. I think that fitness is one of the best things that you can do that show that you care about yourself, that you give a shit about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it bleeds into so many other things. It bleeds into the discipline and it bleeds into the to-do lists and managing the stress. Because then you give enough of a shit about yourself to not fail. Okay, right. Like, you care about doing well for yourself. And then you're not doing it for anybody else, right. Ever.
Which I can actually can say this for myself, and that I had experience from this, because Eric, as I mentioned last time on the podcast, is, you know, he introduced me to exercises. Before that, I was not an exercising person at all.
Mm-hmm. Same thing with me.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, to this day, I'm the most unhealthiest person, even though I do fitness, you know, because when it comes to soda.
Slow steps.
But, you know,
slow steps.
Yeah.
You just drank sparkling water instead of Pepsi.
That's a big improvement. Well, by the way, you know, Drexel Chap and Chick-fil-A kind of clickbaited me, but let's talk about that later. But what I'm saying is that, you know, I'm really, like, what's on the, you know, I still haven't done exercise and stuff like that. And then Eric introduced me to it. You know, how to do certain things. At first, I was like, this is fucking dumb. But then after that, it was like, I was like, oh, okay, it makes sense. You know, what I had to do this, why I had to do this form, whatever, yeah. You know. And then after that, it was like, I need to take care of myself. You know, yeah. So that, I mean, that's kind of way too abstract. But this is the best thing I can approach
it. I agree with you 100%. It's a good keystone habit. Exercise helps you, like, start off of, like, more good habits. Like, if you...
That's actually true. Yeah.
If you, like, mm-hmm. Okay, if I care about my exercise, now I care about my studies. If I care about my studies, I care about my finance. I care about the diet. It's, like, it's such a good keystone habit. It lets you show how much potential you have. Mm-hmm. And speaking of, like, why exercise is so important, like, how can you put forth, like, that mental energy, that mental effort to complete those tasks if you don't have the optimal body, because your body's your vessel, it's your temple. Like, mm-hmm. if you don't mm-hmm. have a functioning body, then how can you just have the energy to do anything?
Do you get that from the song? Sorry, he's like your body is your temple. I think I heard that from the song, but go
sorry,
ahead.
Yeah. I don't know. It's coming from the top of my head, my heart is like how much I really care about exercise, yeah. And I think that everyone should feel the same way, because a big preconceived notion is that people think that exercise is just to look good. But sure, looking good can be a byproduct of exercise, but it's really about feeling good and just in general.
Just be healthy in general.
Be healthy. And like studies show that it can improve your learning curve so much and like your productivity, because it's just so much studies behind it. And for one, it's just a good change of pace, the pace of environment. And like, I think we're talking about different kinds of stress. Like for an exercise, you're stressing your body, but that's like necessary stress to make you grow.
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking about the unnecessary stress that we can get rid of, because like stress is inevitable. Like Victoria just mentioned, like way earlier in the podcast, is like stress is inevitable, because as humans, that's how we evolve. That's how we survive right now. It's like mm-hmm. stress pushed us to hunt. Stress pushed us to procreate and like survive together as a species, as a tribe. But so what I'm getting to is that we're not saying stress is never going to be in your life, but we are saying that we should have the structure and like take notice of the positive methods that we can learn to improve ourselves. Because once that stress does happen, it's good to know yourself and like have positive feedback mm-hmm. to learn from that stress.
Yeah.
Because I think it's different from like you just get stressed and like, okay, and then I get stressed again.
Yeah.
Okay. It's different from us where I feel like we all share this mindset. We get stressed. Damn, I failed. Okay, so what can I learn from it?
Yeah.
Next time, I stressed. Okay, I did a little bit better. What can I learn better? What can I learn more from it to improve mm-hmm. myself again mm-hmm. and again and again? It's just basically like all of our episodes together comes in a full circle. It's mm-hmm. just like we try to get 1% better every day.
Yeah.
And then I think that's just the main concept we're trying to get to, is just that we need to break down the unwarranted stress or the stress that we are going to experience in our life one step at a time.
Right.
And I think structure is a big theme in all of our mm-hmm. in all of our advice.
So my question for you guys is, just to be more clear for the listeners, how would you manage your stress? Just like in the short, like the brief summary.
How would I manage my stress?
Yeah, not how would you, like what would you recommend to manage your stress like that?
I would say just writing in general really helps you be clear. Okay, first, I take that back. First step. Clean your room. That's like such a big thing like Jordan Peterson said, but I wholeheartedly agree. Clean your room. Make sure you have the optimal environment to do what you need to do. Because for me, if I have a desk that's like very distracting, I have my my computer on with video games, I have my social media on, there's no way in hell I'll be able to fully effectively study the homework and finish the homework assignments I need to do with these things present. Mm-hmm. So that's an easy example where you want to get rid of the video games, you want to get rid of the programs, social media for now, and get working on those assignments, and then you could go towards those the things that you want to indulge
your goals.
In. Your goals. So second, like I mentioned before, I took it back, is that you had to make a calendar, you had to make a to-do list.
And how would Jordan Peterson say it?
Make a damn schedule.
Make your damn schedule.
Make a damn schedule. Make
your damn schedule. Make it good. Make it organized.
Third, look up Jordan Peterson. He just repeats. he just repeats everything.
You know what? Don't even listen to this. Just listen to Jordan Peterson.
Can you tell that we're Jordan Peterson fans? I don't think that they know.
I don't think so. Let me just say this again. We're Jordan Peterson fans.
We are Jordan Peterson fans. But you can't just you don't have to look at Jordan Peterson. Just look at all the habits and lifestyles of all of most successful people do.
Mm-hmm.
And if you see the schedules and the lifestyles of successful people, you will see that they all have structure.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think most, I was most I don't probably like 91 that 1% they don't have structure, but I don't really see that one really successful person or like a hardworking person not have some sort of structure in their life.
Yeah. I mean, and if they do, if there are people that are out there that have just gotten success out of life like that, they're the anomaly.
They're anomaly, they're really anomaly. I do believe that they do, but they have structure in their own sort of way that we don't notice. I don't know how to explain.
Well, I mean, if we're talking about, I'm taking it in a very literal sense that someone's going with the flow. I don't think that there's anybody that has succeeded by just going with the flow. There's always hard work involved, and there's always some kind of structure.
Yeah, there's so many factors involved. Mm-hmm. But
I mean, I guess also it also depends on how people define going with the flow. Because people could be talking about the structure they have. And once they have those structures and those goals, they're probably going with the flow within that structure.
I'm not defending that.
I'm just saying, like...
No, in the literal sense of going with the flow is, like, not giving a shit.
Okay, that's right. What I mean. Okay, yeah.
But yeah, third step or fourth step?
Is there a fourth step?
I don't know. I think it just really bounces... It really bounces off of each other. It's just like... It's not some sort of like linear way. Okay, well, first I gotta clean my room. Second, make a schedule. Third, exercise. Fourth, because I think that's just so overwhelming.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think it just all works in together with the theme structure.
Yeah.
Within
those steps, basically in just in general, make a structure. Make a structure for yourself.
Structure your life.
Of course, because we don't know how's your life like.
Well, you know? I mean. I think that my personal message, because I know that you guys is all about structure, I think my personal message from this whole podcast episode is give enough shit about yourself to do those things,
mm-hmm.
to not put your life in constant worry and constant chaos. You have to realize that you deserve more than that. You deserve a life that's peaceful. You deserve a life that isn't constantly hounding you or asking you questions or forcing you to work at the very last minute.
Mm-hmm.
You need to understand that your life is in your control.
Yeah.
And if you care about yourself enough, and I'm not going to preach in the name of self-love or self-care, because I also don't agree with that. But the truth about self-care is that you really have to realize that you owe it to yourself to put yourself in that structure so that you can succeed. And
I like that the way you word it.
Yeah,
that's really good.
Yeah,
like take care of yourself like you want to. You're taking care of someone that you really love.
Because
if you care for someone that you really love, you want to make sure that they have the best ability. They have the ability to do the best things that they can, and that can be involved with structure. That could be involved, health. That could be involved with social life. That could be with everything. So I think we're coming straight to the conclusion is that I don't know, I'm blanking out.
I mean, I feel like we already concluded it, but then we're concluding right. the conclusion.
Yeah,
so,
this will make everything more clear and more, yeah, you know, just make it structured, ironically.
Structure
and self-care.
Structure and self-care, all right. I think this was a great podcast episode. I'm really glad that we were able to cover this topic, how to de-stress.
Or better podcast episode.
And this is a good episode because we're going to face upcoming stress because we are college freshmen.
Oh, yeah, most definitely, yes.
And this is the beginning of the year, and I would say this is the grace period until the final battle, the big battles happen, you know, with all the exams and everyone's just packing
final
in.
Final exams.
Cramming in. Mm-hmm. I definitely don't want to pull all-nighter, so I'm going to use structure to prevent that.
Yeah,
as much as possible.
Your high school students think that with that, the high school years since the beginning,
until
college starts, or at least even college applications.
Oh, you don't even know. They, college sideswipes you. At least people...
That's
tell
how
you how high school is. Like, college, you go in and you're like, oh, it's really easy. It's really easy. And then you're hit with that first exam, bam.
Yeah, you need to keep reminding yourself. Like, you're just hanging out with friends all the time. And you get left hook out of nowhere from, an exam or a homework assignment. Because you didn't put that into your damn schedule.
Mm-hmm.
That's facts.
So
that's really facts.
So,
all right. I think we're going to be signing off here.
Yeah, let us know what you guys think about this episode. Please leave a comment or look at our profile on Instagram at Official Meal Deals. Or email us any questions or comments at officialmealdeals@gmail.com.
Exactly.
All right. See you later.
Adios.
Bye.